This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Oh yeah! In tribute to Chris Switzer's eyeshadow today, we're playing our own makeup songs, Maybelline, but from someone who you wouldn't expect. That's a lost cut right there. That's
not Chuck Berry.
No, it's not. And we will. You'll learn more about that when we get to the bottom of the hour. And I played the second song, which is there's a story behind that song that I will recount for you. But yeah, either way, you've tuned in to Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, on this fine radio station. You can give us a call at 516-572-7440. Follow us on social media, Motormouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and not on Instagram, the web, Twitter, and on Facebook, real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram.
Yes. Motormouth Radio, where the words of the few advise the actions of the disinterested.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to think about it.
Nice. And I tell you, let me get this out right now before I get chastised. Let me make sure I do this in the beginning. We, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, we send out a blog post every week if we have something to go. And this week, it's a new post on our website. It's right on the homepage as well as on the blog. A post if you got that, and it was something that was sent to me by a friend. I had lunch with a couple of good old buddies from work. Those guys are both out for a while, and we got together this week for a good lunch and a catch up session. And my buddy Tony, this is the guy that got me into the BMW motorcycles, he was telling me, we were talking about the FJ and the blind spots, and we were talking about adjusting mirrors. So he sent me a couple of links. One was from Motor Trend, and the other was, I forget what the other one, there was a video, another video link, to show how to properly adjust side view and rear view mirrors. It's really the side views that are the issue. And I thought it was, I had seen something like that years ago and been following it. It works. And I thought it was important enough to share with the viewers and listeners. So it's on the website and on the blog post, right on the homepage.
I see it.
Check it out. It's really, it really does work.
You know, it's funny because I think we've had long discussions. We've covered a lot of radio time discussing this topic. And I remember you had said to bring the side view mirror out as far as you could to get the most amount of distance to take advantage of the most amount of distance between you and whatever's on either side of you. And I said, I kind of disagreed with it because I said I needed to see the side of my car, just a little corner of it, so I have a reference, which means that I'd have to bring the mirrors in a little bit.
Okay, let me tell you, watch the video that's on there. And the guy addresses that. He says, in the beginning, it's going to seem very foreign. But what he shows is, if you're driving down the road on a three-lane highway, let's say, so you have a right and a left lane, you're in the center, and there's a car to your left, and you see them in your rearview mirror because they're far enough back. And he does this. He puts the camera up, and you see the car in the rearview mirror getting closer to him. As it leaves the rearview mirror, you see it in the sideview mirror with the mirrors adjusted properly. And the same thing on the right. And that's that blind spot zone that you don't see if the mirror is too far in. Because now you're looking at yourself, you're not looking at the lane. So, and it does take some getting used to. And even like with the FJ, because there are such big spots, I still use a spot mirror, a convex mirror on the right side. The truck had them on both sides. I took the one off the left because I don't think you really needed it on the left side. You needed it on the right. And you got to be careful. So yeah, watch that's our public service. If we do nothing else and somebody adjusts their mirrors and saves themselves, then we've done our job. So
no, because blind spots are big with me, especially with the ex-police vehicle.
Right.
Because people will sit on my quarter panel because they won't pass me because of what they think I am.
Right.
So they will sit there. They'll camp over there.
Yeah.
So what I do is I automatically assume there's a car there. I automatically assume it.
You have to,
Whenever I'm driving, whenever I'm on a highway, I will literally just take into consideration there's someone camping back there.
Right.
And that's what I have to do. I go, oh, there's someone there. Or if I look and there's no one there, to me it's like, bonus, no one's there.
Yeah.
I have to literally turn and look over my shoulder, physically turn away from the windshield and glance over my shoulder to see if there's someone sitting there not wanting to get a speeding ticket.
Matt Goldman Bryan said, you just drive a convertible. You don't have a blind spot. And I said, or a motorcycle. But I thought he was going to say try driving a tool truck. But but he's right. And, there are certain cars that are worse than like a Camaro convertible, a new one. It's great with the top down. Put that top up. Forget about it.
Oh, yeah. It's still, even with the top, the late 90s, even the new ones now that I think about
the
it,
new
it's
ones
like you're
are
sitting,
abysmal.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting in a bathtub.
Yeah. Well, right.
the doors are up around you. The top of the doors are up around your ear.
Again, all for driver safety. That's all for that crash zone to keep the driver safe. That's what they're looking to do, is save lives.
But, and that's a funny thing because, and this is just me, it's just aesthetics. But when you look at a convertible, I don't want to see like four headrests sticking up. Take a look at a BMW convertible.
I know.
And if you stand next to it, it looks like there's four people sitting in the car all times. They just happen to be beige.
Yeah.
Because there's four beige headrests sticking up.
Right.
But you take a look at like my car and it looks like one big flat sheet of metal. It looks like a big block. Looks like a brick with a windshield in the middle of it.
Right.
That's the way I like a convertible. I can't even look at it like a 69 or a 70 Cadillac convertible because it's got these two logs sticking up that are the driver and passenger seats, and it completely ruins the car's look. So when I see that safety issue thing, I'm like, I'll take my chances. Nice low seat.
Right.
I'll take my chances. And it really puts me at a complete disadvantage with the 69 300 because I want to get a new seat for the front. Mm-hmm. It's got I'm going to get a little Chrysler on you here. It's got the early driver and passenger bench seat. When I say early, before 1969, like within 1968, Chrysler built a front seat that was so low that people complained about it, and they actually built it with a higher back after like January, February of 1969. And my car is an early build, so it's got that low seat, but I like it. I mean, I would love to find something similar to that.
Yeah.
But I know I can't. I got to find something that's a little higher, which is kind of messing me up because I want to keep it lower than the door jam. I know. I see your eyes rolling from here. I know.
I know.
My life. I know. I know.
I know. So I want to tell you something else that you may not, that you wouldn't know. This show has become a predictor of fate. And,
dun, dun.
And not always good.
Didn't we have the Motormouth Radio jinx for the longest time?
Well, Bill from Freeport, right? He'll say,
yeah.
Well, no, this time it was me. I was talking about changing bulbs and hard bulbs to change last week.
Sure.
Remember we talked about that with the show? Well, after the show on Sunday, I met up with a buddy of mine. We were doing some computer work, so I had to meet him at a store, and he followed me back to the house. And he says to me, oh, by the way, you got a light out. I'm like, what? I'm driving the FJ, right? He goes, yeah, you got a brake light out. I'm like, a brake light out? Wait a minute. We're just talking. I'm like, which one? He goes, oh, the left side. I'm like, oh, thank God. That's the easy side to change. I never told you how hard it is to change the right side. I might have alluded to it last week when I told you I found the rag stuffed in there with the burn marks because the guy couldn't latch the socket into the housing. Well, no.
Sure.
Of course, when I got home later that night, I checked. It was the right side that was out. I'm like, you rotten son of a. So Monday after work, I stopped. I got a couple of bulbs and came home and took the back panel off, took the subwoofer off. You got to take all this crap out to get the light out and all and change that bulb. But, yeah, it probably took the better part of an hour for me to do that job.
Wow.
Some of that was walking back and forth from the street to the garage to get more tools because you always forget something. But, yeah, because you got to take all this stuff apart.
Right.
Then get in there and actually, changing a bulb is obviously 1, 2, 3. Then you got to put it all back together again. So that's where all the work is. But I was like, son of a, but I'm going to stop talking about stuff like this on this radio show.
Well, the true test of fate on this program is if you say something along the lines of, I haven't had to change a bulb in my car. If you're dumb enough to make a statement like that, or my car's been running really well all this time.
And let me tell you, on Thursday, when I met these fellas for lunch, we met out on the North Shore, and I was behind my buddy John. John, who calls the show, he'll probably call us today and talk about it. I was behind him. He's in his Ram truck, and I'm behind him at a light. I'm like, hey, his third brake light is out. So I took the camera, I took a picture of it, and I sent them the picture, like, hey. And he says, oh, good, I'll see if I can get a voucher for that. Because we're talking about that voucher program through Suffolk County.
I'm like,
But I said to him, no, really, with in all honesty, I said, your truck is high enough that the main brake lights are really right in your face. You got to look up to see that third brake light. I said, John, no one will ever know it's out. But he changed it. So, yeah, the curse just continued. But now we just passed it on to the listeners. So,
of course.
Oh, my
God. Now I got to walk around my car now. Because when was it? When I first bought the Explorer, I was backing into my driveway at night. And I was like, I can't see. Why can't I can't see my garage. What's going on? And literally, I checked it and found that both reverse lights were out on the car when I bought it. And I'm thinking to myself, when has ever been a time when both reverse lights are out?
Right.
But that's that. I thought really for a split second, I thought something was wrong.
Maybe the switch or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, what's the chances of this happening?
Right.
So I went and bought them, and I put one in, and like you said, you got to pull half back of the interior, back part, the hatch part, you have to pull that all apart and get in there and pop the whole lens out. It comes out in one big unit and pop the bulbs. And you know what? I don't know about you, but every time I take a bulb out, I always take the other one out too and clean it.
Okay.
I always do that because it always has, it never fails. It always has this film of like,
schmutz.
Like brown sand around them.
A little schmink. Yeah.
Right. It's not wet. It's kind of dry. What would be the dry version of schmutz?
Yeah, because schmutz connotates a wetness.
Sticky.
I know this won't be on the MMR, the Motor Mouth Radio Decoder found on the website, because we're in new territory now. The dry version of schmink or schmutz, I am not quite sure what that would be, tell you the truth.
We may have to ask Joe that question, because schming is like something you can flick off with your finger.
Right.
You know?
Well, let's flick off fingers and go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. I just found you guys on the internet. I've been binge listening to past shows. I actually have not even listened to your show that's taking place right now, so I don't know what the topic is.
Excellent. Well, who are we speaking to, first of all?
My name is Nicholas Wills. I'm upstate New York in the Saratoga area.
Right. Well, it's funny, Nick, because we just had a caller from your area code a couple weeks ago who is another new caller. So welcome to the show. And to give you a quick synopsis, what do? This was actually something that I was asked to talk about today. We don't have any specific topic. We are free-formed automotive radio. But we do talk about anything with a motor and wheels. We've helped people, of course, obviously fix their cars, but we've helped people fix washing machines, ceiling fans,
pinball machines.
We're mechanical kind of guys. So, you know, but primarily we're an automotive talk show. So that's our thrust.
Nick, how did you find us?
I was looking for an appraiser in my area, and I forget the fella's name, but your site was attached to his.
Steve Linden.
That's it.
Yep. Steve Linden's a good friend of the show. That's right. And you won't go wrong with Steve. This is not an endorsement, but just since you brought it up, he's a great guy, and he knows his stuff.
And yes, since you were looking for an appraiser, what were you looking to appraise?
My next
question. Most recently, the Mazda NA Miatas first gens have exploded in price. So
I have
gotten one that's a real gem. The last year, the first gen, and it's a low mileage, practically one owner. It was a 3-year lease, and then the guy I got it from had it 22 years. And it's a beautiful car, and I got it what I consider at a very, very good price. And when I look at what they're on, Hagerty and so forth, I feel like I need to up my insurance. And before I up the insurance, I figure I better get a good appraisal so that, you know, if there is a catastrophic loss, there won't be any argument over the value of the car.
You know, Nick, this is weird. This is really now getting to be kind of freaky, because those fellows that I was just talking about that I had lunch with, John and Tony, mm-hmm. Tony showed up with his fairly newly acquired 99 Miata that he got from his brother, owned it, sold it to a guy upstate, up by where you are, Nick, not far from you, who then let it sit for 5 or 6 years, only put like 2,000 miles on it. Called Tony's brother to ask him about what services may have been done to it when he owned it. And he said, what are you doing? He said, yeah, well, he was, you know, my brother may want the car. And then his brother, Tony, goes, buys the car that his brother owned and it looks brand new. So then you're right. And he was raving about it. Those early Miatas, like everything else, have gone up, but they're great cars.
They are.
Yeah, that's true. And the 99 is the next gen, and that actually, well, still popular, is not quite as much the pop-ups. It's funny because I bought all the literature that was published. There was clubs within years of the introduction of the car. It was hugely popular, but one of the books, and I forget the fella's name, but I guess he was a well-known journalist that did some writing in one of these books that was published in 89, so it came out right with the car. And one of the criticisms he had was the huge pop-up lights. He didn't have much bad to say about the car, but he said, geez, the lights are just, when you sit in the car and put them up, you know, I mean, it slows you down with the wind resistance, you know?
You know what? Porsche did that, too, with their cars, you know.
Well, funny thing is, it's turned out, you know, that was written in 89. It's turned out that's one of the most beloved things about the car.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Gives it that bug-eye sprite look. Yes.
Basically totally. Makes the difference between the first and second gen, because the second generation is very similar otherwise in dimensions and so forth. But that's not the only one. That's my most recent acquisition. But looking back in your past shows, having gotten back to about maybe November of last year. Some of the topics were dune buggies. Fuel mileage cars. I grew up, my dad was a Volkswagen specialist. In his shop, he had the fiberglass body stacked up to the ceiling. He made hot VWs and buggies in New York in 1970 and so forth. Wow. Which is a
where was his shop kind of
what's that
where was his shop
His shop was in Melrose, New York. It was Bob Wills Motors, and it was hot VWs and buggies. We had stock, mini stock cars, drag racers, and he built buggies. The first car, not legally, but I drove the first car between the lines on a road, was a turbocharged bug that ran low 13s.
Wow. Yeah, we had a guy down here. We're based on the South Shore of Long Island. Down, you know, way south of you. And there was a place, Motion Performance. Of course, Joel Rosen had all the muscle car stuff, but they had a separate entity, which was Motion Supercars, and they did a lot of VW stuff. Hot, like, back in the day, VW motors were making 250, 280, almost 300 horsepower, which is ridiculous. But
It was insane. The car I drove was basically a demo car, so his customers could get a ride or drive it, and then they could have, it was a Ray J, I remember.
Ray J Turbo,
Yeah, it was a Ray J kit that he would install in your bug for you if you were.
I'll tell you what, I knew a guy that I bought my BMW motorcycle from. He was putting Ray J turbos on the BMW motorcycles back in the 70s. The same turbo they were putting on the VWs, he was adapting them to the motorcycles. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
There was a lot of turbo lag though, in those days, a lot of lag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this bug had Ghia front brakes. It had a short throw shifter that was just a couple of inches between throws. The gas pedal was basically an on or off switch.
Yeah.
And it was pretty tough. I grew up in the fields with a lot of room to drive around, but when I had to stay between the lines with that thing for the first time and driving that, it was quite a handful.
Nice.
But, yeah, I actually grew up with the foreign cars, but then, like most teenagers, you know, get away from that. So I was all Mopar muscle. I've had several of, you know, Mopars over the years, and now I'm back into the foreign car stuff for the most part.
Okay. Well, to give you a little recap, you know, we talked, if you have to go back a few more years, but Chris had a TR6 that we talked about often and sometimes made fun of. And sometimes it was making fun of it. And I still own a Fiat Spider that I've had now for, it's going to go on 17 years now, Chris. I've owned a Fiat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My first car was a Fiat 850 sedan, a 69.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, love those.
Yeah,
little car, but I just would love to get one of those today. That would be a blast to go back to that.
You know what? If you get one that has halfway decent metal, they do go for some decent money because they're just not around. It's like trying to find an early 500 or a Jolly. Then forget about it. You're going to go for your left one.
Yeah,
yeah. I did notice that because I found a few, and they aren't cheap, but... most of my stuff is Hondas. I have first generation through fifth generation Civics. And one of your shows, you talk about, you know, the up and coming stuff, how the hobby changes.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how popular these are when I drive around even a 92 Civic hatchback.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I went to the opening day at our local track, which is Lebanon Valley Speedway. Mm-hmm. And, basically, it was just test and tune. So anything went, everybody brought their stuff out. And there was the fastest car out there, and the fastest car I've ever ridden in at this point is a 92 to 95, which is fifth generation Civic hatchback. Right. And they run low nines. And it was the fastest thing out there that day. And the one I got a ride in was running in the nines. And it's amazing. And that's with a 1.8 turbo.
Yeah, that
is awesome. Yeah, Nick, I had an 84 CRX. I loved it if it didn't rot away.
I heard that. I heard you talking about the carburetor on it, which means it was a 1.3, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I have the seats from a CRX in my loft, in my garage.
Yeah, me too. I've had first and second gens SIs. When people ask, don't you wish you still had that 69 six-pack Super B? I'm like, well... Actually, I wish I had that 91 CRX SI with 50,000 I sold a while back, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. My 86 Civic was a two-door. It was even a four-speed. It wasn't even a five-speed car. It was so bare bones. And I loved it. It was awesome if it didn't run away.
Not the first. I mean, I went through some Datsuns, a 610 and a 510. But then I bought a Honda. For me, it was a departure. A Honda Accord, a hatchback. And that thing, I think it had a five-speed. It was the first car with five-speed. That was kind of cool, too. That was one that was kind of neat. That was a great driving car.
When they were still small cars, the CVCC. Right. And then that acronym was almost synonymous with any, I mean, if you asked somebody what they drove, they'd say Honda CVCC, not even knowing that's really just the engine.
And I'll tell you, being kind of in that field, I kind of remember, that was controlled vortex combustion chamber. That's what CVCC
compound vortex.
What's that? I'm sorry, Nick.
Compound vortex.
Oh, compound vortex. Okay. I don't know where I saw it controlled from. Nick, do you put anything?
I hate to correct you, but I know the Hondas almost as well as I know the Mopars.
That's fine.
Point.
No, listen.
I had an ad in an automobile magazine with the introduction of that 1.3 CRX, and it was rated at 68 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
I had one of my CRXs at a show, and I was next to a Lotus Elise, and we're talking cars. He's like, yeah, I got a CRX Club Racer. I got an 84. And when I asked him about the 84, because I never owned the carbureted 1.3, and I said, I got an ad that says 68. on the highway. He goes, we do better than 70 with it all the time. And I've had so many of them, that's easy to believe, because I can always do better than their advertised highway mileage. And that's not by going slow, because your peak mileage is in mid-60s, you know, so you always want to be doing it.
Yeah, yeah. No.
So I have the Civic VX, which is rated at 48 city, 57 highway in the early 90s.
Wow.
Yes.
So I believe get 60 miles to the gallon with it, you know.
So, Nick, what do you drive? What's your daily driver? What do you drive around?
It depends on what day it is. I have one or two for every day of the week.
Nice.
I'm trying to keep them all operating, but basically, you know, the one I put the most miles on right now is a Honda Fit, because I can fit anything in it, and it's good on mileage, and I don't worry if somebody scratches it or whatever. But
do you post that? Do you post any content on social media for people to see for you with the car stuff?
I don't actually. Okay. I have not gotten into that much. I don't spend a lot of time on it. I
good
basically research what I need on the internet for car stuff.
Right.
And I get, you know, dragged down the rabbit hole in videos. I see videos, yeah, and
don't we all?
Ones you mentioned, like customer state,
yep,
some of that crazy stuff. Yep. You know.
Yep.
Because I've never had, you know, a shop all my life. I've worked on my own stuff.
Right.
In fact, this Fit I'm driving, I got, you know, I mean, it still books for like 4 to 6 nice ones, you know. But this one's got some scars and it needed a front wheel bearing. And just for the hell of it, I, you know, quote some shops on the wheel bearing. The wheel bearing and the speed sensor, which is likely to be having to be replaced once you get in there. You know, it's $500 to $800.
Yeah.
And I did it myself with hammers at home on the ground, and it cost me with parts $36 and some change.
Ingenuity. And I tell you what, Nick, just like your car, you certainly fit into this show.
Yes, I was going to say, you are the demographic.
You knew it by listening to us. Now we know it by listening to you. So let me tell you something. You have, you know, call us anytime during the week. If you want to get in touch with us off hours, motormouthradio@ncc.edu is our email address, and we will answer you, and we can carry on. For now, we're going to have to let you run because we got to take care of our bottom of the hour chores, but we thank you for calling. Yeah, we thank you.
You will definitely hear from me again. I'm glad I found you guys. I don't get enough car talk.
Nah, neither do we.
Pardon that, actually. I shouldn't have said car talk.
Listen,
right?
No. Listen, we were both disciples of car talk and fans of the show. So that's not a bad word in our vocabulary. Not at all. In fact, look at it as a
compliment.
As a compliment. Thank you, Chris. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll be talking to you again.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, bye, Nick.
All right. See ya. That's great. Love new callers, especially ones who are into the hobby as much as or more so than we are.
So. Right. It's true. I love hearing that. That's awesome. 516-572-7440. There's a phone number.
Which lends me to ask you, do you have something to fit into the honor group of the hour?
Yes. Yes. We definitely have something to fit that will hopefully go a long way with high mileage here at Motormouth Radio. And the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week, if you ever had the adventure of stashing candy somewhere in your car, ever get sent to the drugstore on an errand, and while waiting in line to check out, you spot that big box of Mike and Ike's, then you buy them and stash them in the console, try and keep them away from everybody else. That's always an adventure. Or you grab a bag of the Snickers or Three Musketeers Fun Size and leave them under the seat and try and get to them before they don't melt. If you have to leave those, you have to leave them close, since each one of those are individually wrapped and it can get difficult ripping each one open while you're operating a vehicle. It's tough keeping it between the lines and trying to rip each individual plastic wrapper open without dropping the chocolate between the seats. Cops will think you're either on a cell phone or drunk. And you have to deal with the fun-size candy bars because you can't bite into a full-size candy bar without some of the chocolate coating breaking off like aluminum siding off a house in a tornado and dropping in your crotch. All you can think of is not having to remove the chocolate skid mark from the melted chocolate mess on the driver's seat, right?
All right, Chatty Cathy, you got Kim over here pacing.
Try and explain that one to the spouse, all right?
Yeah.
Almost wish you wanted to spring the extra money for the leather seats, right? So if you've ever had the adventure of hiding and eating candy in your car, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
And I tell you what,
there you go.
While you're chewing on that Malamore bar, listen to American Hit Radio Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on this station. It's the show that unravels the music of today while recalling the music of our past. You will join host and author Tom Ryan and his wife Heidi, they're great hosts of the show, by the way, as they discuss music issues of the past and present. This interactive show features trivia, opinions, and many special guests, resulting in fun and informative hour of music and talk. And I'll tell you what, that leads me to our second song, which was released in 1963. And I heard this song, I think, as a little kid, and all through my life I've heard it and loved it. Never really knew the history of who did it, and I finally said I'm going to research it and buy it, and I did. And I'll tell you what, once you hear it, you won't be able to sit down. You'll be up having a ball. So, let's get to this on 90.3 WHPC. We'll be back in a minute. See if I'm right.
Hey, pretty baby. Don't you hear the drummer thumping? You gotta shake it like a crazy. Cause the band is saying something. Everybody is a jumping. You gotta slap, bop, flip, flop, hip hop all around.
You can't sit up.
You gotta
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Excellent.
You guys call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going. Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our train staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show
No, you see, it's funny because Gray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've
ever done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CradleCon, the cradle of aviation's comic, collectible, and pop culture con, with local artists, vendors, Marvel and DC Comics, cosplayers celebrating Long Island, and more. It's happening Saturday, May 14th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, May 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Cradle of Aviation Museum in Garden City. More information is available online at CradleCon.com.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Well, was I right?
You know what? Every time I hear on like an older radio station and they would play, we're going to have one by the Dovals coming up, and they would play the Bristol Stomp, I'd be like, oh, man.
Well, I tell you, this song, just like the Southern Rock stuff Rob was playing earlier that got me jazzed up, this song has always done that to me. I think it is just so upbeat. Since I'm a little kid, I've been hearing this song since I'm a little nothing and always loved it, never knew it was the Dovals. And they did quite a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Totally.
Len Barry was in this group. Of course, Len Barry, you know, from the song 1, 2, 3.
One, two, three. Sure.
Len Barry, yeah, exactly. Jerry Summers, Mike Dennis, and Arnie Satin are the Dovells out of Philadelphia, another Philly group.
So,
yeah, very,
another
very
bunch
cool.
of South Philly boys. Nice.
So now I'm just, I placed another order with, the place that I get a lot of CDs from online, and the Dovells was one of them. So
it's funny. When I was on the air, I used to play a lot of old music. I used to like the old music, early 60s stuff. And then for some reason, I evolved.
Right.
But that song always stayed. I always enjoyed, You Can't Sit Down.
Well, let's not sit down again. Let's go to the phones and go to the fun. Say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, is this the Black Cat?
The Black Cat. Yeah, we could. Yeah, right. It's that after hours.
Remind me not to have lunch with you after you're talking about blown engines.
You and me both, brother. We're not talking about nothing like that. You're right.
I was hysterical when I got the picture of the back of my truck with the brake light out. I was like, oh, my God. Too funny. And, you know, the ironic part was it had to have passed inspection back in December when I had it inspected. The guy was sort of vertically challenged. He may not have seen up that point.
You know, it depends where you go for your inspections. So you can, you know, sometimes things work out to your favor. That's how that works, you know.
I hear you, but I was hysterical after the whole light bulb talk last Sunday.
Right.
And I go, Jesus, it's catching.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I know.
I tell you, John, I'm afraid to go outside and take a look at my car. Yeah. I'm afraid.
Right.
Well, Chris, the good news is you'll get a picture of it.
Right. Well, no, because he's in another state.
That had me in hysterics. I was just pulling into my driveway. I'm like, who the heck's texting me?
Yeah.
And I look, and there's a picture of the back of my truck. I think the brake light's out. And yes. I'm like, ugh.
Right. Yeah, that won't work here because Chris is in another state, so I can't follow him home. And and plus, I don't have a ham sandwich or ring ding, so I got to go follow Brian home.
And not for nothing, I drove around for over an hour. I couldn't find anybody to give me a voucher.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. I think the program maybe is too new. You got to go to maybe police headquarters or something. Go to Steve Malone's office or something.
I don't know if you know. That voucher is good for up to $250.
Yes, I know that. Yeah.
And some of the light bulbs may cost that much to change and then some.
Well, it's like I said on the show last week, again, with the Suffolk County voucher in New York, what they're doing, it is privately funded, so it's not county money per se. You know, shops get on board. But what happens is with some vehicles like BMWs, Mercedes, Audis, you need a scanner when you change a bulb or a battery. You have to let the vehicle know that part was officially changed. Which is kind of scary for a freaking bulb, you know?
Yeah, that is frightening.
No, as I talked to you about the other day, I was so tempted to buy an LED bulb, and I go, yeah, I'll be dead before that thing burns out.
Exactly, right.
Some of the electrical systems get really pissed off when you put LED bulbs where they weren't.
They do, and I've seen a lot of guys with foreign cars, a lot of Hondas, and they'll just throw them in the directionals, and you can tell they don't blink right. The blink rate isn't right. Now, I don't know if they didn't go to an electronic flasher, which is... Now, I did that in my Pontiac and in my Fiat because I have some LED bulbs in there. And, once you use the electronic flasher, it's a load, resistor balance is what it does. It balances the circuit resistance and then lets it blink at a regular rate. Otherwise, it has that fast, twitchy, kind of a half bright look to it. So.
Right. Like one other bulb is out on an older car.
It's like when you get together with all your friends. Everybody's kind of half bright, twitchy, you know, not so great looking. You know, it's like like when we get together.
We got the same
friends.
You
know what? I'm tempted to take a ferry ride and have lunch with Chris next time.
Yeah,
Chris,
come on, John.
I got to tell you, Chris, John said to me that he would love to meet you. You know, guy, and it's like what Dougie had said to me years ago. Hey, I want to meet that Chris guy. He sounds like a lot of fun. I'm like, yeah, wait till you meet him. You'll stick in the mud.
Yeah, big disappointment.
But no,
that's true. Sure.
Now, the funniest was, you know, we went to lunch. Nobody asked for your autograph. That's a good part of being a radio personality.
Yeah, I know, right. You're right.
Yeah, but you know what, John? You got to have Ray give the autograph. He'll end up paying the check, right?
Exactly. Oh, we're not going to get into the check. We had a little issue with that, but let's stay away from that right now. We'll talk about that.
But someone couldn't figure out
the guy that was in the banking screwed that up completely.
Right, the guy... Yeah, so anyway. So what else is going on, John? Anything on the plate?
Too much of anything, right? I just figured I'd give you a shout. I kept hearing my name and Tony's name, and figured, I'd fill a couple minutes of the show. But, my lights are all good now.
Excellent. Very good.
Guys, enjoy the afternoon. Get out of there and enjoy the good weather.
Going to do it. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, have John. A great weekend.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You got
to be safe.
All right, that's good old Johnny. Another Johnny.
You know, it's funny. You don't even have to wait for the light bulb to go out. I had in my CX-9, the big SUV the Mazda comes out with.
Yeah.
I was always marveling at the brightness of the headlights in that car. And then one day I was driving it, and I was like, they weren't as bright as they were.
Yeah.
And I just as a precaution, I went and just swapped them out. They both still worked. But I swapped them out anyway. You know when they kind of get, like, I don't know, they kind of get a little, not as bright. They get a little beige, a little yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is not right. This is not the way I remember it. And I just went and bought a set of high-intensity LED bulbs that matched. And I threw them in. And it's back to the way it was.
They were so, LED or they were halogens? What kind of?
No, they were LEDs.
Because my Mazda, luckily, had the xenon projector lights in it. Those things are bright.
Yeah. No, those, and that's true. No, this wasn't that.
And the LED got dim. Huh? They shouldn't really do that.
So, no, maybe it was the halogen. Now that I think about it, maybe because the xenons were the ones above it that I did not have.
Probably like 9004, I think, if they were halogens. 9004.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
You're right.
See, Joe is rubbing off. Now I'm remembering part numbers. Oh, God help me, because I can't remember how I got here today or where I am even.
No, you're right.
And who are you? I don't know.
That's right, because he had asked me, and I'm like, no, it wasn't the super duper headlight setup. It wasn't the xenons.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those are super bright. No, these were they were just the halogens that just got a little dimmer.
They do degrade. Yeah.
Yeah, I really do feel they do.
But usually, from my experience with halogens, they'll degrade. You don't really see it at first. They'll degrade and then go.
Yeah.
Often, not always. But okay, you know, I like with that in mind. I like using the Silver Star bulbs. Those happen to be very good. The Sylvania Silver Stars.
Try saying that three times.
Yeah, Sylvania. Yeah, I can't even do it once. You know, forget it. Right.
Just let it last. Sybilis.
Now that's the thing on the and the FJ. I want to increase the lighting potential of that car. It has halogen bulbs in it now, but I just don't think that they don't thrill me at night. And the first thing I'm going to do is go through the adjustment, make sure that I think they may be adjusted a little too high. So I want to.
Oh, really?
I want to. Yeah, because I'm looking at how far down the road stop signs are being lit up. And if the stop signs being lit up, that means the road isn't being lit up, you know, on a low beam, on a low, not on a high. So
true.
I'm going to adjust them first. And then I may go to an LED conversion. But I have to warn people about this. You could go on eBay and find LED conversions all day long. The easiest thing to do is shop by price. When you see them for $13 or $20, you know what? No. That's not much more than a decorative bulb. The LED, there are LEDs that are certified for DOT use, and they will actually throw, like in the new cars. You know, the new cars are all LED. So I'll probably, it's an investment. You're going to spend a lot more money, actually. But I like the pattern. I like the whiteness. So we'll see.
No, I don't blame you. I had a problem with the headlight adjustment on the Explorer when I bought it. And I'm thinking, how am I going to adjust these perfectly the right way, the factory way? I didn't have a lot of time. I said, let me try this. I have a white garage door. I put my wife's Mazda up against the garage door, and I kicked the headlights on, and then I went over to the Explorer, and I parked it right next to it. I made sure they both had a half a tank of gas, and I put those headlights on. They were pointed so far down, they were illuminating like right directly ahead of the bumper.
That's not good.
I had to bring them up, and I brought them up to that spot where the Mazda was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, perfect.
Most cars, just so you know, just so people know, a lot of guys would do this from the body shops. They'd stand in front of the car, I forget how many feet, and see if the light would shine at about their knee. But what I always use is I use 25 feet. Go back 25 feet, and you put a stripe on the door. I think it's up at about 4 feet. And that's about where you want to be on the low beam and the high beam. So that's, you know, but you need to be able to get 25 feet back on flat ground. and not everybody can do that where they're at.
It's tough in the state of Connecticut. There's rolling hills everywhere here.
right.
You turn around and you got a rolling hill next to your house. It just happens.
Well, you could do this theoretically. You could back that vehicle into your garage. And from the front lights, measure 25 feet out into the, say, the driveway, and you could erect, you know, like a makeshift board or whatever with that stripe on it. You could do it that way. That's
right.
Always possible.
Like people have the time. Like you do that, right? Sure. You have the time for this.
For years, I had black electrical tape on my garage door because I was doing the motorcycles, I was doing the cars, and yeah, I just got into a bulb. And then I bought something through J.C. Whitney. Oh, this is back like in the early 80s. I still have it. It's a yellow device. You locate it show you how old it is. You locate it on those three little nubs that are on the glass, like a 7.5-inch headlight. There's three little dimples, not dimples, the little raised portions. Locate it on that, and then you can do a level adjustment, and you can do your headlight aiming using that. So it's a quick and easy. Yeah, but then you're in the world where we were last week, talking about the headlight rings and the little screws, and that's just from the front. So,
that's funny because the LeBaron, my 93 LeBaron, 94 LeBaron, had those little tips on the headlight bulb, and I was like, "What are those for?" Yep. And then I realized they're for the adjustment. That's what the adjustment hangs on.
Right.
So, and the adjustment does. It looks like a flashlight. It looks like a mag light that you just stick to the front of your headlight and you adjust accordingly. It's got, I remember the old ones used to have.
Those are the
like
big black ones.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you bought. Those were like the Anko. The shop's got the Anko set up for the headlights. I actually was going to buy, well, speaking of that, this weekend is the Englishtown Swap Meet, by the way, which we're not.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it is. So I didn't want to cry over spilt parts. But so at Englishtown a couple of years ago, I set out, I want to buy one of them. And you'll see them like in the box, all with everything, it for like, 30, 40 bucks.
Exactly.
I found pieces of them. And not enough to be able to, like one was in the red section, the other was in the blue section, so you're not going to go back. And so I never did, but I want to buy that setup from somebody's old shop because I still have old cars. And I never did get to get one.
But you only have one old car with a round headlight, don't
you? No, the Fiat has round headlights, too.
Oh, right, the Fiat, too.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about the Fiat.
Yeah. That's got round headlights.
That's right. And they're two different size headlights,
too,
right?
They are. That's correct. That's very correct.
Right, because, people tend to forget that the round headlight had two different sizes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. The one, the low beam, high beam was was bigger than the low beam, high beam separate.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But headlight adjustment is important for safety. It's important for driving. Now, like the FJ, I've been talking about doing that, but I'm not blazing a trail to do that. The reason is I don't really drive that thing at night too much. I'm not out at night anymore. So I'm home, so I really don't care. So I'll get to it.
It's funny you talk about not driving enough. I was going to change the oil in the Explorer. So I look at my card that I, when I last changed it was back in December, but I look at the card, it had 107,000 miles on it. I said, let me go check what the mileage is now. Mm-hmm. And it's gotta be up there. So I go and take a look. Has 107.9.
All right.
I put 900 miles on the car in 6 months.
Wow.
I don't go anywhere.
Exactly. Well, I had that conversation with Tony at the table. He said, I got a question for you. Motormouth question. All right, let's go. He took out a piece of paper out of his shirt, and he was talking about his motorcycles and his cars, too. And the question was, like, when you don't use the vehicles, do you go by time or mileage or what? And he was real concerned about, using Dino oil or using synthetic. And we had a nice discussion. I said, in that case, you're in the outlier zone here where none of it's going to get the miles it used to.
Right.
So I said, if they're inside and they're stored, maybe twice a year. But like his thought is like, I just put, five quarts of expensive oil in this thing. I'm going to dump it out. But you do get moisture buildup in the oil. So,
yeah. No, it's true.
That's the problem.
It's true. I'm going to let it go a little longer. If I'm not going to do 3,000 miles this year. but no. Looks that way.
Right.
So I'll let it go to maybe the summer, and then, like you say, I'll just dump it out, swap it out.
Just start coming down here on Sundays. We could do the show in the studio. You know, that'd be cool. Start racking up the mileage.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, I'll give you a voucher for an easy pass. Don't worry. Yeah.
Then at 1 o'clock, I'm going to go sit in traffic with 40,000 of my best friends.
Come sit at my house. We'll have coffee and cake. We'll have, like yesterday, I had coffee and crumb cake.
I'm going to show up with my PJs. What are you kidding?
Sure. Not a problem. That's not a problem. Yeah. Good.
I'll fall asleep on a pool table.
Yeah, you can do that. That's good for your back, I guess.
Yeah, because I don't want to deal with that traffic.
No.
I've gotten to that point in my life.
You sound like me.
I get to the traffic light and it turns red. I'm all bent out of shape.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That light has been thwarting me for the last 5 years.
I know. It's crazy.
There are two or three traffic lights, I swear, in this area that I will always hit red. Always.
Yeah.
Like, you know it. Like, I'm sure
there are some in town. Yeah. Yes.
You know those. The ones that you're going to roll up to it, it's going to be red. The second you roll up to it, no matter from which direction you come at it,
right,
it's going to be red. And that, there's like three of them here. They must know. They must know. They see my car, red.
Right.
So I get bent at that now. Before, I used to tolerate Brooklyn, Manhattan traffic.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, there's three people waiting to make a left to go into the Starbucks over here.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
Right. Now, hey, you sound like me more and more.
I'm turning around. I'm going home.
Right.
Yeah, it's hysterical. It's like I'm getting older and I just don't want to deal with people anymore. Yeah. Other than the fact that I think I told you that my wife's, when I drive my wife's SUV, it garnishes way less respect than my car.
Yeah.
Because for obvious reasons, even though they're both black.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, even though my car has that road respect that I cherish, believe me, I don't squander that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hysterical how I've gotten to that point where now it's like I'm not even driving.
Yeah.
I go to Home Depot, I go to the dump. I buy stuff, I throw stuff away. That's what I do.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to you go into the car and they say, oh, that's where I left that banana peel and the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Oh, boy.
Why is there a deflated watermelon sitting on my passenger seat?
Right.
Oh, yeah, get rid of that.
Yeah.
It's better than a chocolate skid mark, I guess.
Because then you get into the whole other thing that we've talked about and I talk with other guys about is the state of the battery, the battery condition from sitting. You know, it's going to drain down and you may find you get a click, 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 or you get a click, 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 you know, because the vehicle wasn't started and exercised a little.
Oh, yeah. When I was going back and forth over the summer, I was just driving, 150 feet from one driveway to the other. Let me tell you, that really does, it takes its toll on a vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Because that was the first thing that happened was the battery was draining rapidly.
Wow.
Next thing you know, you're I'm like, wait a minute, the battery's like a year and a half old.
Yeah.
But because it didn't have a chance to charge, I was starting and stopping the car 20 times a day and not going off the block.
Yeah.
So
you would have been better on one of the trips just letting it idle for a while.
You know what? I did it.
Yeah.
I would pull into one driveway and just let it idle. Who cares?
Right.
Just unload it and let it sit. Go have a cup of coffee. Just let it idle. But even that doesn't really work. I mean, I used to get on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to really put it on the road. And
right.
And that's what I wasn't doing. So now I've learned.
Right.
Now I got a hand truck.
Yeah. Right. Smart.
Whatever you got a hand truck, walk it down the block.
Smart move. That's exactly right.
No big deal. So what's going on in the future of this fine upstanding program?
Well,
we see any guests coming up?
A lot of stuff. Yeah, there's
purview?
A few that are in the works. They just haven't dropped in yet, like as always. And I got to call old Eddie Lyle. We wanted to have him back on a while ago from Lyle Tools. And
yeah.
He was busy. I remember he was going to be busy with some trade shows, and he said there was a few months. I think we're past that, so I'm going to reach out to Eddie. Steve Linden, of course. Nick had mentioned Steve Linden before, and he's on mine. I had some email interchange with Steve this week, and right. I'd like to get him back in here, too, and talk about the state of vehicle values and appraisal.
Yeah, it's funny because Nick had mentioned about the prices of the Miatas shooting up.
Yeah.
And it's funny because if I distinctly remember, Haggerty mentioned it in either this batch of up-and-coming valuable vehicles or up-and-coming investments, or was last batch of 10? Because I think they do it once every 6 months or once every year. And I remember the Miata, the first-gen Miata, being on that list. Right. And what I've realized is once Hagerty puts a car on their list, bang, that price goes up that afternoon.
And I will tell you, yeah, I'm still safe because on all those lists, they still don't put the old venerable Fiat Spider. They just get no love. I actually dropped my value down on my Hagerty policy now.
I remember you saying, because
I jumped the other car up a little bit. And you know, I'm waiting, you know, probably after I'm gone or my car is gone, that's when they'll find that car as being the lost treasure that nobody ever knew about. And like, come on.
You mean you found the Guarino Fiat? Holy smokes.
And I'll tell you, though, it's kind of cool having a car that people, A, don't know what it is, because everything says an MG or something. And, you know, and when you tell them it's a Fiat, like, huh? Fiat made one of these. This is a nice looking car. I'm like, well, yeah. It's just kind of off everybody's radar, you know. Or they think, they go by the old dictums of, oh yeah, they were hard to work on. Listen, they couldn't have been easier to work on, you know.
No, not your car. I always said, even when you put your Fiat next to my TR6, your Fiat still looked nice. Had the greatest heating.
It does.
Heater.
Yeah.
Better than the TR6, that's for sure. I thought it shifted nicer. I thought it drove better. It was more comfortable than my car. We used to drive in your car, and then I'd get out and get back in the TR6, and it felt like I was on a stagecoach.
Fiat actually has real wood grain, you know, a real wood grain dash. And
had nice appointments.
Yeah, surprising.
You had me sold on that car because I was the same way. Oh, Fiat one Spider, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But literally walking around the car and getting a feel for it, it was, I think, a better engineered vehicle than the Triumphs of the same era.
And I'll tell you this, it's a great road car. It is phenomenal on the highway. It's a great cruiser. It's always been rock solid. It doesn't get blown around like other small cars. It really tracks very nice. So yeah, like I said, it's my little secret, and I love it. I've always enjoyed that car. I guess I say, you know, more smiles per mile in that car than anything.
I believe it.
It's cool.
I believe it. I'm just real fast. I was on the Verrazano Bridge. I was heading over with the TR6, and I got it gunned. I'm in high gear, and I'm like, the road is mine. I'm loving life at that moment. And the car went, loop. It just squirreled a little bit. Enough to make you pucker. Yeah. That's the only way to put it.
The road is yours, but the lane is ours.
Right, exactly. Enough to make you go, yeah. Right. That was enough to startle me. And I said, no road. That's when I rebuilt the whole entire front end on the car, and it still wasn't that much better.
Well, the thing that'll startle the listeners is we're going to be getting out of here because Kim is coming in to do Thunder Road. Best of Springsteen in the band. You should stay and listen to that like I know you do, because I think our listeners love her show better than they love ours sometimes.
They do. They tolerate us for hers. Yes. Yeah.
And we'll be back next week. We'll do it again. And like I said, maybe we'll have a guest. If we do, we'll let you know. If not, we'll have more fun and frolic and whatever. So, Chris, you have a good weekend. What do we always say? What do you always say that John and now Justin have adopted on Thursday night?
Don't follow us home and watch those chocolate skid marks.
You got it. So, for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio signing out. We'll see you next week on 90.3 WHPC.
See you, bye.
See you, bye.